Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the darker days that winter brings see our roads at their very busiest. Traffic jams and delays are just about inevitable. And while you curse the traffic gods, perhaps you can take some comfort that scientists and engineers are studying the problem. And here to tell us more is physicist Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education. Good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
Have a nice journey in.
I'm very lucky. Belfield is only across the road.
You can walk it. So listen, science is looking at this for us. What hope is there for us when it comes to this traffic problem?
There is some, but like many of the great juicy problems, science can only get us so far. Psychology has to get us the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. And people at this time of year will be very familiar, particularly when schools go back, or anyone that is in South Dublin will notice today that UCD is back in term. And so the roads are a lot busier because there's a lot more people moving around. And our solution has been an engineered solution, which is that we will build bigger roads, and that will surely help with the problem. Remember when the M50 A wasn't there, or B was only two lanes and there were traffic lights at every junction. And we thought when it went to three lanes and it was free flowing that things would improve. But the problem is that when you build bigger roads, people are more likely to drive, and they will get there. People also have more cars. So it's a space issue. And so science is looking at how these individual cars and vehicles are moving along the system and how they relate to one another, with a view to trying to make things flow as much as possible. And I think we all have this image in our heads of driving as an expression of our individual autonomy and freedom, right? This great idea of the road trip, right? You can close your eyes and imagine you're in the Midwest of the United States and you're going down this beautiful road and there isn't anyone else. And, you know, you have the top down on your magic convertible and you're listening to the Eagles and everything is great. But the reality of driving is that everyone else is trying to go around as well. And our roads can only take so much. And once they get above a certain concentration of cars, you move from what we call a free-flowing state to a congested state. And that's where traffic comes about. And while we can model it as a fluid, it only gets us so far. We can't really solve the problem.
Because, I mean, when I say scientists and engineers are looking at what causes traffic jams, I think I could answer that for them. It's more cars on the road. And it's, you know, busier time, 7 o'clock in the morning when the colleges are back. That's what causes traffic jams. Are you saying there's a bit more to
there
it?
There is. So you know that if there's a breakdown, like the road's blocked, you can't get around it, the cars stop. But there are other phenomena. For example, if you're going along a multi-laned road and you come up behind a car that's moving much slower than the average traffic, what happens is you have to go around it. Now, if it's quiet, you can do that easily. If the road's busy, you have to kind of inch out into the overtaking lane and get around the car. And so you end up engaging in a behavior where you come up behind the car, you possibly brake. If the car is going very slow, like, or maybe a tractor, you have to brake and then you have to get around it. And this causes a delay, and it causes a delay that moves backwards in traffic. We call it a shockwave. So the car right behind brakes, the one behind it brakes. And if the cars are too close together, they brake very rapidly. And all of a sudden, a couple of kilometres back, traffic stops. And that's what's called a phantom traffic jam. And it happens because cars are not all moving at the same rate. It happens because there are too many cars on the road. And it happens primarily because of poor driver behaviour. And the primary one is people tend to drive too close to the car in front of them. And so when that car brakes, they have to brake very quickly. And so you get this abrupt wave moving
backwards. So we're not blaming the slow driver here. We're blaming everybody else, are we?
Well, you know, it mightn't be a car for one thing. It could be a vehicle that's moving on the road legally, right? And so they might just need to move slowly. So there is unless you're on a motorway, there is no lower speed limit, right? Or it might be a cyclist for that matter. The road is not ours to occupy. We have to share it with others. So whilst it might be frustrating to see that some cars are moving slowly, they're not necessarily doing anything wrong, although the behaviour of them and the cars coming behind can lead to these phantom traffic jams.
So is a potential solution to be found in deciding that every driver should behave in exactly the same way? Then would we have free flowing traffic?
Yeah, and I had a great conversation at home this morning about this. It's like about the autonomous driving, right? What if your car was using AI in some way? What if it were able to kind of notice where the car was in front and the car was behind, and it was able to regulate so that it never got so close to either of them and it maintained a proper flow?
Well, that's what it's going to do, isn't it?
Well, it might, but it's very tricky, because what happens if there is an accident? Who's at fault? What happens if the car has to make a decision as to, you know, I have to stop, there's an emergency, but I'm not able to stop safely. Who do I hit? Right? So there's a famous philosophical problem called the trolley problem, where the person has to decide whether there's this train and it's running out of control, and they have to decide whether they pull a lever and it will kill a small number of people, or you let it keep going and it may kill a large number of people. And so this idea of having to make a decision about something. So if you're driving your car, you have responsibility for it. But what happens if that responsibility is shared between you and an artificial intelligence? Who's at fault? But you know what you said at the very start, the real reason we have traffic is there are too many cars. The proper solution to these things is not to be in cars.
Of cars on the road.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Look, drivers need to be on the road as things stand. We're moving towards getting more people to travel actively. But what do drivers need to do now to minimise traffic jams and make for a calmer journey?
Well, there's a couple of things that they can choose to do, and then there's things that traffic management systems can do. So one thing that the driver can do is try not to get too panicked, right? The idea of going up behind people or going like tailgating them or weaving in and out of traffic doesn't help. Right. It really doesn't. People might be surprised to hear that sometimes everyone slowing down gets everyone there faster. So if you're on the M50 at rush hour at the moment, you'll see that there are lower speed limits that flash up. Right. So it goes from 100 down to 80 or 60. So they're trying to control the flow of traffic. So you just basically mind your distance between the car in front and just be a little bit more considerate. Another thing is when you're coming in and out of traffic is to bear in mind the effect that has on all the people behind you. So if you're coming off the M50 and you're pulling into like an exit, do you do that as soon as the exit appears, or do you wait a little bit? And what the science shows is that you shouldn't just abruptly come off the motorway and abruptly come onto the motorway. You should build up speed. You should adjust your speed so you come in or out of the motorway safely and you cause as little disruption to the car behind you as possible. There's one really basic thing, and I know we all do it, which is stop looking at your phone. It's being distracted.
Also illegal.
It is illegal, absolutely. You'd swear it wasn't, but and the effect of it is not just that it is dangerous, right? But it's also that it has an effect on traffic. So if you're sitting at a light and at the start and it goes green, you move off. Then the car behind you notices you've moved, and then they move, and there's a wave backwards. Mm-hmm. So not all the cars move off at once together. So that wave backwards of basically copping on that I can move is dependent on your reaction speed. And if you're not looking at the car in front of you or looking at the light, you have to wait until you do realise or somebody behind you beeps.
So then you were causing this knock-on effect.
Yeah, so I've been looking in the literature, and there is some work that shows it is a significant contributor to traffic in the morning is people being distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned the traffic lights that were on the M50 junctions and they've now been removed. What is the impact of traffic lights in general?
Well, it depends, right? The old systems of traffic lights were they're on timers, and no matter what time of the day or night it is, they just go through a sequence. Now, there is studies that have been done that basically says you can go with the flow, right? So if you think that most traffic going into a town or a city in the morning is going inward, right? So maybe you should have longer sequences so that you get more cars through the junction or more vehicles through the junction in any given time. That's one system. There are also other systems that can be far more dynamic, and they look at how they've modelled it on how people behave. So if you have a big crowd of people in a corridor and there's only one little portal and they have to get through it, what happens is people would stop on one side to let others through coming against them, and then the pressure builds up because the crowd builds up on the opposing side, and you get this oscillation, this ebb and flow of who gets to go first. And there's sort of a social pressure that builds up to say, hey, we need to get through here. And systems are now able to do that for traffic. So they can sense, right, using GPS in cars or whatever, how much traffic is building up in a certain direction. And so the traffic lights should be changed to try and unclog the system as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But like, whilst it is really busy at the moment, this time of year with traffic, I think it's important to stress that when we see, like, cars take up a lot of space on the road, right, compared to bicycles or the number of people on a bus, that we see traffic and think that's awful. There's actually not that many people involved in the situation. So when you never see a footpath unless it's after a football match or something and say there's congestion. So we are far, far more efficient at getting around if we can take alternatives to our car.
All right. Well, that's a good place to finish, Shane. Thank you very much, Shane Bergen, there on the science of traffic. I hope that helps you as you're trying to get around today.